Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good to see you this morning. We are again in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. So I invite you to turn there and read with me. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is God's word. So this morning we're looking at gentleness. We've come to the second-to-last item here in Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit. You'll notice in the King James it's translated as meekness. Really, these two concepts both play into this word here. But there is a difference between the two. Meekness is more of a passive trait. It's describing our response to others. If somebody comes to us, they speak to us, perhaps they reprove us, and we humbly receive that? Do we listen to them? That's what meekness is describing. Gentleness is an active trait. It's how we act towards others. Nevertheless, both of these things are involved in this word here that we have for gentleness. So what is gentleness? Well, it's a mildness in dealing with others. It displays a sensitive regard for others and is careful not to be unfeeling for the rights of others. So we should be careful, tender, and compassionate as we interact with one another. And as we do this, we walk in the same footsteps that our Lord Jesus Christ walked and continues to do as he cares for us and shepherds us. For example, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, when Jesus, he calls us to come to him in Matthew 11, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." To be with Christ is to receive the gentlest care possible from anyone. The disciples were very blessed to be with Christ, weren't they? In person. Another human leader probably would have harshly rebuked them at every turn and give them what they deserved. But even though Jesus did rebuke his disciples sometimes, he still did it with gentleness. He did it with love. And we must also model Christ's shepherding, his pastoral care of us as we interact with others. For example, in the very next chapter of Matthew, Matthew 12, quoting Isaiah in verse 20, it says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory." So Christ deals very gently with the weakest, because he knows that they need the most gentle care. He doesn't crush the damaged and weak. He doesn't crush those that are suffering and weak in faith. Rather, he patiently and gently instructs them. So let us ask the question, do you shepherd like Christ shepherds you? Do you shepherd others that way? If you were in Jesus' shepherding boot camp, how would you do? How would you compare to the shepherding work of Jesus Christ? So what will gentleness look like? So I want to give you four things that gentleness looks like in our interaction with others, whether it's those in the church or our children or family members. Four things that gentleness looks like. First of all, gentleness shows respect for others. Everyone's made in the image of God, and everyone on that basis deserves kindness and gentleness in our interactions with them. It's true that some people require a different approach. Different personalities require us to interact in different ways, sometimes to say certain things certain ways for certain people. Some people require a bit tougher, more direct approach in our interactions, and some require a softer, more patient approach. But in all of these cases, whoever it is, we must still be gentle. We must seek to talk to people and persuade them with kindness, not with domination and intimidation. Secondly, gentleness will allow others to be at ease around us. Do you think people are comfortable around you? Why or why not, if so? Would there be a reason that somebody would not want to come to you? Would it be a bad reason, perhaps? If you aren't a gentle person, people won't be very comfortable in your presence. You might lack gentleness by quickly squashing what others have to say, not listening carefully enough to what they have to say. It's really hard to be around people that are just waiting for you to stop talking so they can correct what you just said, right? That doesn't strike us as a very gentle approach when we receive that, and it makes it difficult to be around those kinds of people. But the gentle approach, first of all, listens. The Proverbs tell us to listen. And then secondly, wisely and carefully considers what a gentle response to someone else would be. We should seek to make people feel comfortable in our presence because they know that even if we disagree with them, we will at least listen to them and gently respond to them. Think about how Jesus did this with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was very much in error, but when Jesus responded to him, it says that he looked at him, loved him, and then spoke the words that this man needed to hear. So gentleness will allow others to be at ease around us. Thirdly, gentleness will not respond to opposition with anger. Gentleness does not respond to opposition with anger. And this is the meekness side of gentleness that we talked about, that passive receiving of dealing with others. If someone opposes what we say, perhaps they are clearly wrong. Perhaps we've set forth what the Scriptures teach about something. And yet, nevertheless, we don't respond with anger. We seek to, once again, listen if we're the ones on the receiving side of things. The gentle person is willing to bear with misunderstandings and false accusations. So that was the third item. The fourth is gentleness will patiently guide and teach. And this is so important for us as we interact with our children especially. As I'm beginning to learn more and more, our children test our patience, don't they? They show its limits very quickly. It shows us our need for patience. It humbles us. But as that happens, we need to be gentle then in our teaching, in our instruction with them. We don't respond in anger or frustration. We lead and shepherd like our Lord Jesus Christ leads and shepherds our children, with the spirit of gentleness, gentle and lowly of heart in our interactions with them. So those are the four items. I'll close with Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 2. Paul exhorts us. He says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love." Let us pray, brothers and sisters, that God would grant us these things that Paul describes here. Let's pray. O God in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and your gentle care of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have demonstrated for us what it means to be a gentle shepherd. And this is how you care for us each day, even as we fail and even as we make mistakes. You are there with us, gently guiding us. We ask, O Lord, that you would help us as we have opportunity to converse with others, as we have opportunity to instruct our children. We ask that you would give us a spirit of gentleness, that we would not respond with anger or frustration, but that we would walk as our Lord Jesus walked, and that on our minds it would always be, how can I be gentle with this person? We ask that you would help us to bear with one another with long suffering, patiently dealing with sometimes false accusations and other difficulties. Help us to walk in love. Now we do take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.